Hey, welcome to my show, Feng Shui Your Way on UK Health Radio. I'm Janine Lo, your go-to Feng Shui consultant and Chinese astrologer. I've been helping people transform their lives for over 20 years, from private clients to big names and businesses, and I can't wait to share my tips and stories with you. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Christopher Samson, a life leadership and spiritual teacher and coach with more than 25 years of experience helping people deepen self-understanding and navigate meaningful change. With a PhD in human development, he integrates psychology, spirituality, and personal growth, and is also a certified practitioner of past life regression therapy. Always stumbled with that, don't know why. Guiding individuals towards a healing, self-awareness, and authentic living. He's the author of the inspiring book, Longing, A Pilgrimage to Your Quiet Power Within, which explores the inner journey towards clarity, healing, and discovering one's truth. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Janine. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Are you Chris or Christopher?
Oh, Chris is good.
Fine. So I'm interested to know about your book, A Pilgrimage to Your Quiet Place. Can you tell me more about it, please?
Well, I'd be happy to. Yeah. Where to start, I guess, is the question. There's so much it began as a personal exploration for me. I only secondhand, sort of, or second priority, decided to write this book. It came to me, in other words. So not to say I was without choice, I certainly was. But what I would do with this experience became an unfolding adventure that began some 5 years ago. It was during COVID, in fact, around this time of the year, in 2019, when the outbreak first took root and we were all sheltered. I had this inspiration. And as I say, it came to me. I didn't seek it, I learned quite a bit about opening my heart, moving into this deeper sense of longing that is a universal experience felt by all human beings. And the various various intensities, but also in our own unique ways. And this is why I understood from writing this book and the background research and the interviewing of five people that this is something that is paramount to each of our lives, is to respect that longing and to follow it. So the book unfolds from that basic premise that, yes, while we are imperfect human beings, we came into this world with an immediate wounding that would sustain throughout our lives to create something that was actually magical and explorative in our own lives that would end up to fulfill us if we were to pursue it. Problem is, a lot of us don't, but many of us do, and we're never, I'll put it this way, most of us are never 100% on pursuit of our purpose. But as long as we're on the path, gratification comes and fulfillment will happen. So that's the basic premise of the book.
It's interesting. And it's interesting you mentioned, obviously, COVID, because I think personally that people became more aware of the silence and were able to get in touch with their spirituality, or the fact there's got to be more to this than what we do every day and all that sort of thing. And for me, as a Feng Shui consultant, Chinese astrologer, I was used to jumping on planes and doing it. So I actually wrote my book during that time. So the experience that you pulled on was, when you talk about five people, was it, are they clients or just, please explain that to us, what you think.
Yes, I'd be happy to. First of all, I'm happy to because of the inspiration I've drawn from each one of them, and then much more collectively, the five have inspired me to deepen my understanding of this. So it's one thing to get it personally, that we are each on our quest, and the quest does involve a good amount of pain and suffering, but greater satisfaction, greater gratification comes from pursuing our quest than the collective pain. So having had that experience to intimately know the stories of these five people who I hold as courageous and yet ordinary people, the ones we meet in most everyday life, I was deeply inspired And so it had a grounding effect on my work and in on me personally. And that is what I'm intending by sharing these stories. They were generous, they were gracious and open, they were vulnerable, and in their vulnerability was strength. And I want to share that strength, that power of self, how would I call, self-revelation, self-exploration, and openness at the level of heart that is deeply inspiring. So that was actually something I had not set out to do as I wrote the book. So I never planned it that way. It just presented itself that, I wrote about the quest, about the longing, about the movement into our own pilgrimage to heart and soul. And I said, or the message came to me quite clearly, that you need to make this real. You need to help others to understand how they too can connect with this, other than bringing into the experiences that I provide on the pages of the book, but to bring it through story. And at one point too, I was working with an editor who said to my question, "Should I share my own story?" A resounding is was a resounding yes. You need to share that because you've asked five other people to be open and vulnerable and to show their strength and to enrich others through their story. How about you? So that's what I did. And it's a step into some bravery on my part, some courage.
I get the feeling there's going to be a follow-up to this book. Call me intuition or not, but that's what I'm thinking. Is the book actually out now?
Well, it will be out June 2nd in the US and earlier, late May in the UK. We're not sure exactly of the date yet, but just to give listeners an opportunity to mark their calendars, it will be available through Simon and Schuster. They're the main distributor. We will also have it posted at, in fact, it is currently at Amazon and Barnes and Noble and other places online where books are sold.
Yeah, pre-selling. It's interesting because listeners, before we got onto this call, Chris and I was sent some questions by the lovely intermediate that introduced us, and I thought, right, okay, I'm going to settle with them. But as soon as I started to talk to him, I was like, I think I don't need to ask these questions. And he said, no, can we let it flow? Yeah, and that's what you're getting. So if there's a few lulls or whatever, that's us just adjusting to each other's energy, I would say. But I am going to ask you, because out of pure interest and the fact that you have done regression, yeah, because I did regression many years ago when I was about 19, and it has stood me in huge stead for what I learned on my regression thing. Have you touched on regression in your book at all?
I refer to the importance of us being aware of our past lives, and then also much more is being aware of our intention for coming into this incarnation as it is now. But I do refer to past lives. However, the book is not, Longing is not about past lives. Longing is about really being in this life and paying attention to what the purpose of this life is, unearthing that, revealing that to our own selves, and then to bravely pursue that. But past life regression is an opportunity, is a doorway into that depth that can free up so much blockage, allowing us to move into that depth. So it's a wonderful experience. And it sounds like you had such,
Amazing,
I
amazing.
too.
So mine was, I went through the doors just because I can just tell you, and actually my listeners know I always like the gossiping about my rescuing cats. I went through one door and I was a pirate, and I went through another door, and in Canada, I was the one that was flying over and dropping water on fires. Yeah. So always this massive out there doing it sort of thing, which is like a little bit of me, but yeah, that's it. So I thought I'd just share that, but Yeah.
Well, to add to accentuate something that you said, sorry to interrupt, but I just want to underscore that oftentimes what comes through in our past life episodes are the more profound, the almost the cataclysmic sometime, but life-changing experiences from past lives that have been left unresolved. That is the pain, even the intellectual sort of completion. But there's more to be expressed in those episodes because they are so potent. And we, if we're ready, they will come to us for that resolution.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
We're
Yeah.
just going to hand over to our sponsors, and when we come back, what I had planned, we won't be doing, but we'll be doing something even better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So I'm back with Chris, and we are talking about his book, Longing. So when you chose, or they chose you, these five people, were they, this is interesting, right? So people often ask me why, what you do, and I say I do things that make me happy. After they had done, you know, I'm an absolute car. I will buy a new car just because I want to buy it. You know, I'm that sort of person, and I never think it's wrong. I don't have, you know, we're here once, this sort of thing. But going back to your book, which is very interesting to me, the five people that you wrote about, do we get to know the beginning, the middle, the end of all their stories? How they do. So could you explain that a little bit to me?
Yes. Yes, having done a good amount of social research myself through my doctoral pursuit, I learned to interview. But I let these interviews be much more a storytelling of an approach, and just let them speak what was, you know, in direct response to whatever they felt. Yes, and indirectly sometimes to my questions, or sometimes spot on with my questions. But we had a conversation. And they were intriguing, each of them, most of them quite dramatic. I never set out to prove a point. What I set out to do in these interviews was to understand. And what I was attempting to understand was, how can we, as human beings, ordinary human beings, have these profound life experiences and then be changed by them in a way that advances us in the direction of our soul and bring us great satisfaction. Because on the face of it, one would think these calamitous events that happen are destructive, are to be avoided, are danger zones we all must get away from and never recall again. That's sort of a common approach, less prevalent these days. But in the conversations, that tendency was put aside and they walked straight into, I had a calamity, a life calamity, a crisis that happened to me, and I grew from it. Now, they didn't all articulate so directly. They told it through their stories. And I actually got onto this path because years ago, a good friend of mine, in fact, one of the persons I interview, Jose, told me about this kind of theory called post-traumatic growth. And in post-traumatic growth, there's a body of evidence that shows that certain people, when faced with adversity, and move into it with courage, not always courage, because we're certainly fearful during these times, but to had the wherewithal to move into that difficulty, eyes wide open, came out on the other side somehow stronger. And that wasn't always true with all people. Sometimes there are those of us who go through these episodes and come out broken, shattered in so many different ways. We could go into the neurosis or psychosis side of it. But suffice to say that some of those experiences are quite shaking to people's lives that are upsetting, and they remain upsetting. Let's not look there. It's in the past. So there is another kind of experience that people have, same equal intensity, equal kind of dramatic episode, but they come out stronger. And in various ways that they come out stronger. Some come out stronger with an abundance of love to be felt for self and others. Some come out with a greater knowledge of how things are, how empathy is one of the outcomes. I was specifically looking for those folks that went into these heroic journeys, immersed in the pit of the experience, who came out at more spiritually enlightened. Mm-hmm. And so this was not a formulated, let's go on, a 1 week intense retreat. This was grounded in their own experience. And these were the five who I sorted and interviewed. And they were quite profound. Each of them found their own kind of spiritual connection that what resonated with them at a very deep level, which I refer to as soul, is that connection with our true essence. So that's what intrigued me. And voila, that's what came out of those interviews, a spontaneous questioning and storytelling that I do then sane through this quest, this heroic quest that each of us face as our own protagonist in life. How are we going to grow from this? And in what ways? So there's always a mystery to it. And it was the mystery that intrigued me so much. And of course, then was so gratified by their outcomes that I wanted to share with others.
Listeners, you can't see me, but I am sitting here in absolute awe because we are connected here. I have spoken to people that they've gone in a completely different mindset to things that have happened and come out. Like I was saying, just even with COVID, suddenly finding themselves, we know in COVID, people suddenly were able to have dogs because they were at home and all these little things. But then realizing how they were not connected, they were just getting on that bus and going to work, just driving that road as they were, didn't really understand where they were. So these people that you spoke to, can you give me an example?
Yes. Well, which one to choose is the bigger question. Well, I'll start with one. I mentioned Jose, a close friend of mine for many years, and he had a terrifically life-threatening bicycle accident. He's an athlete. His routine was often to come home, put the books aside, put the work aside, jump on his bike and take a ride. And he did so one evening on a bike track near his home. And unexpectedly, met head to head with a fellow rider in a tunnel way. They crashed, his helmet broke into four pieces, and he was then airlifted or brought to a nearby hospital, which later he lived in for the next 90 days, 30 of which he was comatose. And awakening only in moments that were not lucid to him, but there was one that was. He recalled a woman coming into his room, which he said he never saw again after. But she said to him, "This is going to be good for you." And he thought, "How? What?" You know, he was shocked. She said, "This is going to be good to you. It's going to make you live in the present." And she left. And as I said, in the next, throughout the 90 days, he never saw her again. And one of the things that resonated with him about that experience and his overall experience was the preciousness of the moment. He was always living in the future, always planning ahead, securing for the next difficulty and or anticipation or whatever it might be, but always thinking ahead and thinking he could control his future.
Yeah.
This brought him into the presence. And as a result, he's much more grounded in himself. His wife turned out to be quite the hero in support of him. And then he brought this work to others. So there's a hospital here in the Denver metro area called Craig Hospital, and they focus primarily on brain injury. They enrolled him to create a special program for particularly people who had English as second language, and families needed ushering through this horrific head injury, brain injury experience, and to help them through it. So he took this catastrophe, or as I call it in the book, this calamity, and turned it into a sacred calamity of generosity and guidance. And he's quite an extraordinary person.
Do you think that the universe does this to certain people so that they can change and then go and help others?
Well, I would, yes, and I would home in on a different descriptor than universe. Universe is quite large. It's commonplace, and it's a good starting point. What I'm referring to is soul, that there is an intention. There is a part of us that lives through intention, the intention being to ascend, to merge with our original source. Though we've, as human beings, developed over our many lifetimes blemishes that keep us from connecting directly with the ultimate source, the soul is on an unending, unyielding quest to meet with that clarity and merge with the divine. And so when we say we're going to die, the part of us is going to die as the earth being, the patterns that we picked up, these habitual ways of suffering and enduring pain in our lives, to be freed and connect with that purity. And each of us have had some experience of that from time to time. And I refer to that in my book as well. Longing is an exploration into that wonderful experience of feeling the light, of knowing it, because we do. We do. We do. And we get covered, you know, it becomes obscured by our intellects, our brilliant ways, and that confuse us, actually.
Okay, hold that thought, because we're
okay.
Just about to listen to our sponsors. This is really deep, so I'm looking forward to talking to you after the break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Right, so we're back. So let's talk souls. I understand everything you're saying for reasons that I'm not going to go onto the radio show with. But how would you, I hope I'm going to get these words right, how would you explain to our listeners the soul's mission?
The soul's mission. I love it. Yes. Yeah. And there's yet another word that I want to put a fine point on is mission and purpose. They're two subtly different things. Purpose, I'll begin there. Purpose is what we came into this lifetime to fulfill. It may be a purpose may be fulfilled through a role that we hold as a parent or a leader in a community. A purpose is an achievement of certain healing points along our way. One might say that it includes a karmic clearing or a karmic completion. Any way that it shows up, it's a way for us to connect to the deeper yearning of our soul. So if, for example, our purpose was to learn to be a loving human being, then our soul would find opportunities for us to align with learning that lesson. Sometimes it includes loss and pain so that we awaken. Sometimes it includes absolute joy. And we have peak experiences of love and ecstatic love or tender love or whatever it may be. But we're here to learn the full range of that. Love is probably the most universal purpose that we come here to fulfill, right? Mission is an accomplishment. It is the pursuit of something. And I learned along my way, as an example, that my mission, I had a mission, and it was to write this book, which I found out fairly late in life. But now that I look back over into my past, I see I have been conditioning, but I've been preparing to write this book my entire life. I remember as a young lad, some 8 years old, sitting in the little couch in our basement and reading while my mother was ironing. I always had a book, loved libraries, loved bookstores. Anyone who knew me well said, don't get them near a bookstore. We'll never get them out of there. And I've bought enough of them, and I've written quite extensively in my lifetime, both research and as a novel writer. This opportunity to write this book, as I say, was an actual mission for me to complete. I had no idea what it was going to be. I found out about it through non-ordinary means. I was working with a psychic medium. Victoria was quite skilled. I trusted her. It was our third or fourth meeting. And she said, you know, I'm getting this vision, from your guides, showing me a large book. You are to write a book. And I was puzzled and I said, write a book? Okay, well, all right. And she said, no worries. It's going to come to you. So COVID, as I mentioned, had set in. I had time, I had space, and I had my habits, my patterns, my habitual ways that I knew to write a book, and I was by, you know, I was going to do that.
Yeah.
And I determined, set out to write this book, and came back some 3 months later, met with Victoria again after having done this vast literature review into the development of higher consciousness in human beings. And she said, no, they're telling me no, you are off course. That's all fine and good that you did this, but it will serve you. But this is not the book you are to write.
No.
They insisted, listen, we will guide you. So I said, okay. I was a bit defiant, but willing, and grabbed a tablet of paper and a pen, laid down that evening on my floor, quiet winter night, and began to write. And I said, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
The first thing that came was a poem. And this poem appears in Longing as one of my first items. And it's called Begin. And I hadn't written poetry ever. Then I kept writing more prose, more narrative, coming through, till I continuously did this for some 3 or 4 weeks and filled eight tablets of paper.
Wow.
And said, where is this? This is wonderful. I love the experience of this. I felt in flow, that state of just being with what's natural and rejuvenating and intriguing. Much of it, as often is channeled material, confusing. It was repetitive. So I knew I had to work with the material, and then sequestered myself in a B&B in Taos, New Mexico for about a week and transcribed and rewrote and got it into a reasonable form, and did that a number of different times at different locations in Colorado, New Mexico, and brought it to a point where I could submit it to an editor. And from there, then I got the message that I need to make this real, relatable to people. And that's where the five interviews, the five people came into the book. And so Longing became a personal quest of learning and release, opening, let's call that surrender, where I stepped into what needs to be. And that was the fulfillment of my mission. And there was a wonderful moment I had around this, sort of a reaffirmation of it. One of my, how are we doing on time? Okay. Or should
I? Oh, that's right. He's seen me look up in the listeners. He's seen me look up. Yeah. You've got 5 minutes. It's fine.
Okay. Okay. Good. I want to mention this anecdote. One of the persons who I refer to in the book for his wonderful research is Robert Schwartz. And he's wrote Your Soul's Plan and other related books about a pre-life planning. Well, I had been in a workshop with him, or was intending to be in a workshop with him, and thought, hey, Robert would be wonderful to have a book endorsement. So I wrote him, and he said, he replied by email graciously, said, I will do it, but it might be a couple of months. About 2 or 3 days later, I heard back from him again. He says, I had an opportunity of unexpected time. Here is the endorsement for your book, your wonderful book. And he said, and by the way, congratulations on completing your life mission. I had never spoke to Robert about a life mission. And I said, okay, this is a confirmation. So it's been an eye-opening, heart-opening, really rendering of all myself to this over the last 5 years.
Yeah. And this, believe it or not, when I did my first book, the nerves beforehand, whereas my second book, I thoroughly enjoyed the whole process. So I'm telling you, enjoy it. Take the interviews, talk to the people. They need to hear you. I'm really enjoying what you're saying. It really connects to my, should we say, so it really connects to what I'm saying. So you are coming over with your passion. And if you're passionate about something, I think that's important to share personally.
So, thank you.
My listeners need to find you. So let's go through the name of your book,
yes,
where they can find you, what date it's been released. And remember, listeners, you can buy it on pre-order. And that's very good if you can do that for the author. And where else, if they ever want to work with you privately?
Yes, absolutely. I'd love to hear from whomever has questions or is interested in exploring working with me. As I work as a one-on-one spiritual coach, I also do small group experiences to help deepen each member's connection to their soul uniquely. And so all my work is centered around that. And as I said, I do different modalities individually with groups, with couples to help strengthen their relationship at a soul level. The way to reach me the easiest would be to email me at Chris, C-H-R-I-S, Chris, at livelifesoul.com.
Nice.
You can also, find an email, a quick contact form at www.livelifesoul.com, or find me at Facebook as I believe I'm at Christopher, LinkedIn. I also have Chris or Christopher Sansone, S-A-N-S-O-N-E, and I will be much more active on Instagram and other social media outlets. But for now, the website works great. Email is I prefer.
Thank you. So, guys, thank you so much, Chris. It's been amazing. I wish I could talk longer than you. I really genuinely mean that. So you know now how to find Chris, and his book is out on pre-order, The Longing.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Feng Shui Your Way. I can't wait to share more insights and inspirations with you in the next episode. Remember, life is all about creating harmony and welcoming positive energy into your world. Until next time, stay balanced and keep your energy flowing.